Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, Taining the Supreme, text number 8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Chetasa nanya gamina. Paramam purusham divyam. Yati partha nuchintayan. Abhyasa yoga. By practice, yuktena, be engaged in meditation, chetasa, by the mind and intelligence, na anya gamina, without being deviated, paramam, the supreme, purusham, personality of Godhead. Divyam, transcendental. Yati, one achieves. Partha, O son of Pritha. Anuchindayan, constantly thinking of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path he owes, Partha, is sure to reach me. Purport. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although the living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are a material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the Supreme Enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the Supreme Enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's different manifestations, plenary expansions, as Narayan, Vasudev, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, and any of his features, Narayan, Krishna, Ram, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him at the end of his life due to his constant chanting. He will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the Supersoul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly, and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. Abhyasa-yoga-yuktena-cetasa-nayangamina paramam-purusham-divyam-yati-partha-nichintayam. One who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged remembering me, undeviated from the path, O Partha, is sure to reach me. So it says in the Padma Purana, smarta-vyaksadatam-vishnur-vismarta-jatu-nakinjit. Sarva vidi nise dyasyor etayor eva kinkara. Out of all the different rules and regulations, there's one nisheda and there's one vidi. So, vidi is what we're supposed to do, and nisheda is what we're not supposed to do. So, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to always remember Krishna, and what we're not supposed to do is ever forget him. And if we follow that one rule and that one regulation, then all the other rules and regulations are considered to be kinkara, or servants of that one rule and that one regulation. Whereas Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yomam eva asambuddho janati purushottama sasarvavid bhajante mam sarva bhavena bharata. That anyone who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatama shastram idan bhaktyukva mayanaga etat buddhi buddhi matsyat krita krita shivarata. That this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures, that anyone who knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. What Krishna says at the end of the 17th chapter, which is theoretically the last chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter being a summarized of everything that Krishna has said previously. So the last verse in the 17th chapter, which is essentially one word since the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Ashraya hutam datam tapastaptam kritam chaya etat asat it yuchute parta na chata preti no iha. Then anything done as a sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme is useless both in this life and the next. In other words, if we want to do something useful, we should do something in Krishna consciousness. And the nice thing about it is that, as Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, that which in the beginning, yat taragre vishama eva parinami mritopamam tatsukam satvikam proktam apna buddhi prasadajam, that which in the beginning is bitter like poison and at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So, all throughout Bhagavad Gita and other places, it's glorifying the chanting of the holy name. And indeed, usually in kirtan, because it's melodious and the sound may be catching to some degree or not, the rhythm or something, we might pay attention. But when it comes to japa, or when we're not even chanting japa, we're just living our normal life in forgetfulness, walking around in a dream, we may forget the holy name. What to speak of when we are chanting, remember the holy name, it may not be as pleasant. Because it's not that the holy name is not pleasant, it's just that when we become conscious of all our material contamination. We just wake up a little bit. And when we wake up a little bit, it's disturbing. When we're asleep, then we can dream, and everything seems all right. Usually, if we're not having a nightmare, it seems quite pleasant. We have a pleasant dream. So we're trying to make a pleasant dream. And then when we chant Hare Krishna, we wake up a little bit, and we realize our dream is not so pleasant. And then we become disturbed, and we blame it on the holy name for waking us up. Why did you wake me up? I was sleeping so nicely. I was imagining that I was going to become the enjoyer and the controller of this universe. Now you woke me up, and I can see that actually it's my mind. It's disturbing me. It's all due to the holy name. So then we think the holy name is disturbing us. I can't do this. It's too disturbing. But actually it's not the holy name that's disturbing us. It's waking up and realizing how disturbed we already are. Or how much asleep we are. Because if you're fast asleep, you're not disturbed because you're unconscious. So when we become a little conscious, then we start realizing that life is not exactly as I thought it was. It's not full of chocolate and roses. Therefore, Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapta Vidya Pitopatapta Rasanasya Niroshikanu Kinvanarat Anudinam Saivaja Jushta Savikramat Bhavati Tadkala Mulahandri. The holy name, form, quality, pastimes of Krishna are transcendently sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot relish anything sweet, it is wonderful how by simply chanting these sweet names, every name, a natural relish awakens with one's tongue, and his disease is destroyed at the root. So we have to keep on chanting. Just like Bakasura, he swallowed Krishna. Now Krishna is sweet like sugar candy. But when Bakasura swallowed him, and he felt it was bitter, like the most bitter medicine. And so he vomited Krishna. So that's called offensive chanting. You get some nice prasadam, you get the sauce of all prasadam, and you're so sinful, you don't appreciate it. So that's not due to the fact that Krishna didn't stop being sweet like sugar candy. It's just that the consciousness of Bakasura was covered, so he tasted something very sweet as very bitter. Similarly, the example is given that when one has jaundice, even sugar candy tastes sweet. It's not that the sugar candy ceases to be sweet just because of the jaundice, that it tastes sweet, the disease condition. But if we keep on eating sugar candy prepared properly, then the result is that the jaundice is cured, and then we can relish the sweetness of the sugar candy after some time. So the holy names are sweet, transcendently sweet, like sugar candy. So, but if we keep on chanting them, one day we'll be able to, the stage of Navabhas, then one can begin to get to clearing stage, a little bit of taste, a little bit of happiness. And then at the stage of Shuddha Nam, then the holy names become transcendently sweet, like sugar candy. And one cannot stop chanting them. Just like there was one great devotee, a Vaishnavi, who was constantly chanting, and there was this Rupa Raghunath, I think his name, Rupa Kaviraj. He was giving a lecture, he was a famous lecturer, and during the lecture, this Mataji was chanting the holy name, wasn't stopping, so he became very angry at her. And he said, "Why are you chanting during the lecture? Why don't you pay attention?" And she said, "Well, I can't. My tongue keeps on chanting. It won't stop. There's nothing I can do about it." Because his criticism was quite an offense, and because of that, he fell down. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to pass one day, he went with his loda, and when he came back, he was holding his tongue. And one devotee, 5 years old, named Gopal, said, "Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are you holding your tongue?" He said, "Because my tongue is so naughty, I was doing something dirty and still was chanting the holy names." So Gopal said, no, you don't understand. Anywhere, whatever you're doing, you can chant Hare Krishna." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, you're right. That Gopal, you're my guru now." So then he said, "Gopal is my guru." So then he was known from then on afterwards as Gopal Guru. So in any circumstance, we can chant Hare Krishna. And if we can do it incessantly, constantly, then we'll get the transcendental benefit of it. Of course, it should be done in devotion, just like there was one personality named Raghunath Bhat Goswami. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was at Jagannath Puri with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and serving him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you should go home and take care of your parents because they're actually great devotees until they leave their body. When they leave their body, you can come back and serve me again. So Prabodhananda Saraswati was his uncle, and his father was also a great devotee, and his mother. So he stayed with them, took care of them, and afterwards he was coming back to Jagannath Puri, and one gentleman, his name was Ramdas, who was accompanying him. And during that time, Ramdas always wanted to serve Raghunath Bhat Goswami, who was a Brahmin. So Raghunath Bhat was reluctant to take the service because Ramdas was always chanting the name of Ram. He was considered a great devotee of Ram. 24 hours a day he was chanting the name of Ram. Somehow or another, Ramdas said, "Well, I have, you're a Brahmin, it's my duty to serve you." So during that time they were together and he's constantly serving him. When Raghunath Bhat Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and accepted him as one of his confidential associates. And one day he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet Ramdas, because he was such a great devotee of Ram. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ramdas, and Ramdas was always chanting Hare Krishna, always chanting Ram at least. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't pay him very much attention, because actually he was an impersonalist. He was always chanting Ram, but he was thinking he was Ram, or he was going to become Ram. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like that kind of chanting. So one has to chant with a proper understanding, or else one may chant like the impersonalist, which is considered nama-parad, and the result is not auspicious. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
I have a question. When we were going through the text word by word, here on Veda base, it was a little bit different translated than
we
in...
You should destroy the Veda base.
No, it's just... the translation was he who meditates, but in Bhagavad Gita that you are having, it's one who meditates, and then
well,
also
he, one, whatever. What's the difference?
It's not the difference, huh?
But I don't know.
And like Abhyasa Yoga was in practice of meditation was translated
in the Veda base.
Yeah, I can show you.
I believe it's you don't have to show it to me.
So What should we then learn from Veda base or from this?
You should always remember Krishna and never forget him. The one word is different from another, it makes no difference. You see Krishna in every word.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
If it says somewhere that Krishna is not God, then there's a problem.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for clarifying this.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.